Our scripture reading today comes from John chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria, that is Jesus. And so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. That was near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now his disciples weren't there because they had gone on ahead into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, a woman at that. How can you ask me for a drink?" For you see, Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Well, Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water from the well, and it's deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did all of his sons and his flocks and his herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me some of that water so that I won't have to be thirsty anymore and keep coming to this well." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband, and the man that you are now, and the man that you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship that what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. And yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Come to worship in spirit and truth. Well, we continue this morning to talk about worship. Today I'm going to talk about the purpose of our worship. Do you ever wonder why you come here and do this thing called worship week after week? Well, we asked it a little differently last week, I think. Why are you here? I want to give you a little test this morning to see what your response is at the end of it. So it's going to test your imagination to a degree, so if you're more comfortable, or at least comfortable, close your eyes and start developing this picture as I go along. Imagine that you're standing on the edge of a lush green forest. It's a mild spring afternoon. It's not too cold, it's not too hot. It's just right. Every once in a while, a soft breeze blows over you and you breathe in the fragrance of fresh flowers. You enter the woods and you delight in the sounds of birds singing and squirrels chattering all around you. As you travel through the forest, you take note of the various types of trees, the tall, strong oaks, the thick maples, the scruffy cedars, the weeping willows. You continue through the forest for some time until you notice just up a sloping hill, you can see now an open meadow.
As you exit the forest, you feel the warmth of the sunlight on your face. And as your eyes readjust to the light, you see a field of flowers in full bloom. Suddenly, you realize that you're not alone. You turn and look to see who's traveling with you. Who is it? Who's traveling with you there? Who is that first image that popped into your head when you turned to look? This is a psychological test, I'm told. The imagining is over. I beg you, open your eyes lest you fall asleep the rest of the day. No. The person or the thing that came into your mind when you turned around in your imagination, that is the thing or the person that you think most about. So what's the point of this little exercise? It's to get you thinking about your main focus in life. What dominates your thoughts? Who or what does your imagination or daydreaming return to? People become like their focus, you see. Whatever or whoever prevails in our thoughts shapes who we are and even how we live. Donald Whitley in Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life says that we emulate what we think about. Children pretend that they are the heroes that they see on TV. Teenagers dress like the sports stars or popular musicians that they devote so much attention to. And these tendencies don't go away, disappear when we become adults. Oh, they're not quite so obvious. In essence, we worship that which is at the center of our thoughts. To worship means to give worth or esteem, to pay respect, to honor. And the process of focus and response is worship. Jesus put it this way, you must worship the Lord your God. Serve Him only. In other words, the focus on God alone and respond is our task. Now here is the way that life is supposed to work. The more we focus on God, the more we understand and appreciate how worthy He is, and then we respond with gratitude and joy and with a willingness to forgive others and with a love for God and a love for people created in His image, so that we go out from these four walls and serve even the least of our brothers and sisters in Christ's name. After visiting churches in many parts of the world, author Philip Yancey asked, why do so few Christians appear to be enjoying themselves in their worship? And it's worth our attention today. Worship was always intended to be an exhilarating, renewing activity that leaves people filled, not depleted. Renewed, not more deeply trapped in dissatisfaction. Internally certain, not confused. Well, people often confuse our singing or praying or shouting praises or raising hands or reading the Bible. People confuse that often as worship. But that's not. These things may lead us to worship, but they are not worship in and of themselves. Worship is intentional focus on God, and then our response to Him. You get out of worship what you put into it. You may or may not like the music. You may or may not like what the preacher has to say some Sundays, rare Sundays. Probably never feel that way, but to the extent that you focus properly, you will get something out of worship. If you desire God's character, you must intentionally make Him your focus and respond accordingly. I think it's best to see how this worked out in the life of the woman who experienced the presence of God at the well. But it took her a while before she focused and responded appropriately, didn't it? Like most people in our world today, this lady had an unfocused mind. But on this occasion, Jesus was traveling from southern Israel back to the north, to be at his homeland in Galilee. And Jesus, Jews like Jesus and his followers were supposed to hate Samaritans. They would, in fact, usually circumvent this place where he was. You see, Samaritans were viewed as religious compromisers, radical half-breeds. That was a culture clash that Jesus encountered or entered into when he sat and met the lady with an unfocused mind. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Well, nobody came to the well at noon. It was too hot. But soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." He was alone. And the woman was surprised because she knew, as everybody did, that Jews were not supposed to have anything to do with Samaritans, much less a Samaritan woman. And so she said to Jesus, "Look, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. What are you asking me for a drink for?" You see, here's God in the flesh on earth. He's sitting at your favorite watering hole, engaging you in conversation. You respond, but it's in less than a sophisticated way. Ever been there? You haven't focused on who he is, so you treat him like any other person off the street. Well, that was the case with this woman. She was in God's presence, but she couldn't respond appropriately because her mind was unfocused. All she could see was that he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. All you can see is that that person's different than me. And at that point, Jesus was worth very little to her, and so she treated him contemptuously. "What are you asking me for a drink for?" Like so many of us, her mind was just somewhere else. She was focused on her own agenda, too preoccupied with carving out a life the way that she thought, the way that she thought it ought to be. She never took the time to assess her own thinking. The woman was too focused on traditions and cultural differences to recognize that she was in the presence of God. Some of us are like that. You bring thought patterns to the table, hang-ups from your past experience, undeveloped ideas about God, cultural biases. God has initiated conversation with you on numerous occasions through various circumstances and different kinds of people, but you respond inappropriately because you've never seriously assessed the focus of your mind. Your thinking is lazy. It's in default mode. If you just focus, you'd see what God is up to. God is constantly communicating, but most of us have unfocused minds, and we can't hear him. Well, this goes for the religious types among us too. If you're unwilling to think outside the box, think outside the way things have always been, the way things I heard them as a child, it's got to be that way. If you're unwilling to think outside the box, you won't grasp any new things that God is leading us to. Notice how Jesus keeps drawing this woman's attention to himself. He keeps calling her to focus. And when she finally does, he reveals the devastating results of her unfocused mind. What we worship is always revealed by the way we live. Jesus cut to the heart of the matter and spoke directly about the state of this woman's life. What was her focus? Was it sex? Security? A desire to be accepted? Oh, we don't know. Those are questions we can think about, but it certainly, her focus was not God. An unfocused mind leads to an unfocused life, and we settle then for an unfocused faith. The issue is worship, focus, and response. Not only was she messing up this life, she was forfeiting the life to come because she refused to focus and respond accordingly. There are grave consequences not to respond to God's presence. Now, these are the purposes of worship, as we learn from this story, I think. One, to focus on God in order to discern the truth about God. Only focused people can discern the truth about God. But the time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way. In his book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster writes, "Worship is the human response to the divine initiative. Worship is the divine, is the human response to the divine initiative. Worship is our response to the overtures of love from God's heart." John Wesley called that prevenient grace. God takes the initiative and comes looking for you while you didn't even give God a thought. But once we intentionally focus on God, then His Spirit touches our spirit. We get a glimpse of who God is and what He's done for us, and that vision compels us to respond to that love. The woman in this story was getting closer and closer and closer. Because of Jesus' initiative, she was moving to a greater understanding of who He was. The purpose of my worship is to make a decision in response to God's disclosure. No matter where you are in your faith journey, you can be more intentional and rivet your focus on God. Don't forget, the focus is not enough, though. When His Spirit touches your spirit and He discloses Himself, you've got to make the choice to respond. Worship. Focus on God daily. Make it a habit to begin the day sitting on your Heavenly Father's lap through daily prayer and Bible study. Or not just Bible reading, but Bible study. What does this passage tell me about God? And write down an answer. What does this passage tell me about me? And write down a response. Well, now, what does this passage tell me about my relationship with God? And write down a response. Set aside time every day to sit on your Heavenly Father's lap through daily prayer and Bible study. Setting aside this quiet time as a way of intentionally focusing on God. Begin the day with Him and don't let Him out of your sight. Pray without ceasing. Oh, come on, that's not possible, preacher. Well, you pray without ceasing when you start the day with God in prayer and leave off the amen. Leave your prayer time open-ended and focus on His presence throughout the day. Imagine that He's with you in every situation, in every conversation. Oh, the reality is that He never leaves us. But we must focus to remember His presence and respond properly. Another way of saying is this would be to use different tools to help you focus. Singing is one tool to help focus our minds and hearts on God. Prayer is another form. You can shout. You can try shouting or dancing and verbally expressing thanksgiving. You can try various postures like standing or kneeling or lifted hands or clapping hands or bowed head or lying prostrate on the floor. And don't discount the form just because it doesn't suit your particular taste or style. What we must see is that the real question in worship is not what will meet my need, The real question is, what kind of worship does God call for?
Be prepared before the worship hour starts on Sunday.
Look over the words to the songs that we'll be singing. Read over the words to grasp their full meaning. If you can internalize the song, great. Spend time in prayer before the service begins. Pray for the musicians and the speakers and everyone involved with the worship service. And oh, by the way, that's you. Ask God to help you focus and make your heart responsive. Invite Him to have His way with you. And then learn to let go. Learn to let go.
When you're in a group worship, let go of the fear that you have of other people and what they'll think of you if you lift your hands or shout out a word of praise or amen.
Let go of that person in front of you who's wearing what they're wearing or how bad their hair looks this morning. Let go of that grudge that you're holding against the kid who keeps distracting you or the neighbor who has offended you. Let go of those frustrations and bless those people and move on. Look at worship as an offering to God. Remove the desire to get something out of it when you gather with God's people to worship or when you are alone with God. Worship is what we give, not what we get. If you ever leave a worship service, prayer, stuff, hang out of that. Well, if you ask that question or make that statement, guess who the object of your worship is?
You.
You get out of worship what you expect, to the extent that the focus is upward as well as inward. Give God your focus and then respond. Offer Jesus your thoughts and your actions, and you'll find His heart developing in you. That's the purpose of my worship and your worship, that Jesus' heart might be developing, continue to develop in me and in you. It's not what I get out of worship. It's what God gets out of it in the form of how I respond to His love throughout the week. So worship has nothing to do with buildings or places. It has to do nothing to do with style, contemporary or traditional. True worship happens when first we are connected and focused on God and then respond to His love. Are you worshiping this morning? Will you worship as the week goes on? Will you stay focused on God's love and respond?